The National Party finally signing on to the net zero by 2050 pledge. Interestingly, they weren't the only net zero Johnny-come-latelys today. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the biggest oil exporter on the planet, has today pledged to become net zero by 2060. Devil's in the detail here. Somehow they'll get to net zero by exporting more oil. But hey, maybe they can capture a lot of carbon in all that sand somewhere. But anyway, back to the Nats. Because if you think this puts an end to the tiresome decade-long climate wars, we can guess again, can't we? By the standards of our Western democratic allies, net zero by 2050 is the absolute bare minimum. This pledge from the Nats is just days before the PM attends the summit in Glasgow, and the pressure will be piled on Australia to set a more ambitious 2030 target. But that pressure isn't only coming from other countries. It is also coming from the business community and the people that have all the money. 84% of businesses surveyed by the Carbon Market Institute thinks our 2030 target needs strengthening from a 26-28% cut based on 2005 levels. John Connor is the CEO of the Carbon Market Institute. It advocates on behalf of members in carbon-intensive export industries. So that includes companies like AGL, Woodside, BP, BHP, Ampol, Shell, and others. John Connor from the Carbon Market Institute, welcome to Money News.
Thank you, Brooke. It's a pleasure to be here.
So lots of kicking and screaming. Now the Nats support net zero by 2050. So 15 years of climate wars, it's not behind us, unfortunately, is it?
No. Well, if it's not the beginning of the end, it's the end of the beginning, perhaps. So it is important, I think, that they've made this target for net zero emissions by 2050. We're still to see the real detail behind it, of course, and that's going to really matter. But what matters also is the path to that net zero and the ambition that we need to do to lift our game for 2030. This decade does matter as well. So every decision matters and every bit of carbon matters and the steps and policies along the way matter as well.
Yeah, we don't just gloss over a whole decade. We just certainly can't do that. So, I mean, you were concerned that failure to adopt net zero would see Australian companies getting smashed with carbon tariffs. Have we avoided this?
Well, we'll see with that. I think in the survey that we conducted last month that you mentioned, around 81% of business respondents were concerned about carbon tariffs, and that's been increasing. And, of course, we've seen Europe and others now looking at these carbon tariffs. What they will do, we'll have a look at what the policies are right now, though, and what are the effective carbon prices or other regulations that potential importers are facing back at home. And so, of course, if we just have a net zero target by 2050 and no policies, then we're still going to get whacked by those carbon tariffs. So that's why the detail on the policy still matters, why we're very much looking forward to hearing more about what's been agreed or potentially being agreed as we speak between Cabinet and the National Party. But really, in our view, and a very strong view of many of the respondents to the survey, but also recently the Business Council of Australia and other industry groups, is what are the policies that we have. And many want to see a policy that actually has a predictable and declining cap on pollution that can be used as a guide for investment in the clean technologies.
Okay, so yeah, maybe we can expand on that. As you said, the path is important in terms of how we get this done. You put out a statement today saying you hope the decision heralds a departure from this false binary of technology versus taxes. So what carbon emission mechanism do your members support?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got this, it's quite extraordinary, really. The good aspects of the government's technology roadmap is that it's picking some technologies and it's putting some investment that's building on what's an emissions reduction fund that's now committed over $2.5 billion of taxpayer money. So I just don't understand this technology versus taxes argument. Taxpayers, we're certainly all paying. What we're really keen to see is technology and a market investment approach, one that can build on what's called the safeguard mechanism that we actually have here. It might surprise some of your listeners, Brooke, that we actually do have restrictions on pollution for our biggest emitters, requirements to measure and manage, but also to purchase when they go over certain limits, to purchase carbon credits and trade them in effectively. And they're buying in the spot market right now at about $33 or so a tonne. which is, of course, way more than we saw under the Gillard pricing mechanism. But this is a policy that actually can be reformed and evolved into something which actually has declining limits over time, can be aligned to the targets and projections that we want for 2030 and 2050, and be a guide for investment. And I think that's what we've been pleased to see, that many business groups and industry are also recognising right now, and that's the more economically efficient way to drive a key bunch of the reductions that we need to be achieving.
It's great to chat to you tonight. Thank you very, very much. And we appreciate your time. Hope we can chat again. CEO of the Carbon Market Institute, John Connor, thank you.
Thanks, Brooke.